This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I don't know if I can ever trust again. I don't know if I can ever hope again. I don't know if I'll ever really feel happy again. These are sentiments that you've probably had yourself after trauma or after something really difficult that happened to you. Or maybe you've heard it from someone else. But the idea is that just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the barrier of a difficulty from you, doesn't mean that the impact of that is not going to be felt for a very, very long time. And are there du'as that can actually change emotions, that can actually change the way that we feel about the past, present, and future? And the answer is absolutely. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic narration that there is no one amongst you. And I want to emphasize here that he said there is no one amongst you, meaning that this is for all of the Muslims, who when he is stricken with grief and anxiety, and who says this dua, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his anxiety and will replace his grief with joy. So it's a powerful dua. And you can imagine that when the Sahaba heard this, they said, Ya Rasulullah, should we teach other people this dua? And the Prophet ﷺ said, absolutely, whoever hears this should learn it, and by extension, should teach it as well. So what is this dua that the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us? It's such a beautiful and comprehensive dua. He said, say, Allahumma inni abduk, ibnu abdik, or you could say, wabnu abdik, Allahumma inni abduk, ibn abdik, ibn amatik, nasiyati biyadik, maadin fiyya hukmuk, adlun fiyya qada'uk, as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak, aw anzaltahu fi kitabik, aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqik, aw ista'tharta bihi fi 'ilmi al-ghaybi 'indak, an taj'ala al-qur'ana rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri wa jala'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi. So let's look at the beginning. O Allah, I am your slave. I am the child of your male slave and the child of your female slave. Which means what? Number one, it is absolute submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave does not disobey his master. The slave does not question his master. And this is unlike any type of human relationship. When a person submits themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they find nothing but love, nothing but glory. And the more that someone humbles themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah honors them. So you're saying from the very beginning, I submit everything to you, Ya Allah. I am your slave and I descend from humble beings as well. I'm not entitled. I'm just your slave and I'm pleased to be your slave because that is the greatest station of honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my forelock is in your hand. Now, I want you to think about the image of someone who has their forehead in the hand of someone else. What does this represent? It represents that I am completely submitted to you and you have complete control over me. And some of the scholars say it also means the submission of intellect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That I submit my own thinking to your revelation, that you know better than me. And I'm okay with that, right? I'm pleased with that. And I am content with your revelation even when I can't understand your revelation. So first and foremost, I submit myself intellectually to you. And you are in full control over me. Your judgment upon me is assured. Maadin fiyya hukmuk. Meaning what? Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed is going to happen. And I'm content with that as well. And on top of that, the expression, adlun fiyya qala'uk. That verily your decree concerning me is just. SubhanAllah, think about a person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, life has been unfair, you've been unfair. Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? The difference between that person and someone who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, I have no doubt that everything you have decreed for me is just, that you've never been unfair to me, O Allah. And you affirm that in your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maadin fiyya hukmuk. عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكَ. So all of this is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you say, I ask you by every single name that you have named yourself with. one of the most blessed ways to have your dua answered is to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a specific name that fits your specific request. So if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, you call upon Him as Ar-Rahman. If you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, you call upon Him as Al-Ghafoor. If you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His rizq, for His sustenance, you call upon Him as Ar-Razzaq. But here, this is all encompassing. Every single name that you have, O Allah, I am including it in this dua. The names that you have named yourself with, meaning the ones that I'm aware of, the ones that you have revealed in your book, the ones that you taught to any one of your creation, or the ones that are completely kept to your knowledge in the unseen. Now think about that for a moment. There are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't even know, that no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And the specific dua that you may be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with might match one of those particular names. And here, you're including it in your dua. So just like when you make istikhara, you say, Allamul Ghuyub, that you know everything that happens in the unseen in regards to this decision that I'm trying to make. Here, O Allah, whatever name that you have that matches the ask that I have, then I invoke that name, even if I don't know that name, and I'm comfortable not knowing that name. So I ask you by every single name that you have, O Allah, to make the Qur'an the spring of my heart. Now, by the way, it would be pretty strange to ask Allah to make the Qur'an the spring of your heart and to not read the Qur'an. So just like with every other dua, there has to be a deed that matches the dua. So you're resorting to the Qur'an and you're asking Allah, make the Qur'an the spring of my heart. What does it mean to make the Qur'an the spring of your heart? The scholars mention that the spring of the heart means give it life once again. So if you think about dead land, nourish it, give it life once again. Let it spring once again after death. And then the second part of this, and to make it the light of my chest. Now, subhanAllah, what do crops need? They need the soil, they need nutrition, and they need light. And light clarifies, light alleviates, light relieves. So it's like, give me life after death. And indeed, some people, subhanAllah, they feel the death of their heart. Give me life in my heart after the death of my heart, or what I feel like is the death of my heart. And then give me light in my chest. Relieve the burdens. Give me clarity. وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي. And let it be the banisher of my sadness, and let it be the reliever of my anxiety. SubhanAllah, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place the Qur'an in a certain relationship with you to where it removes the impact of the past and the anxiety about the future. And indeed, the Qur'an is a cure. And here you're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Qur'an to assume its rightful place with you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says this dua, it will remove every single anxiety and it will replace every sadness, every form of grief with joy. In another narration, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that one day the Prophet ﷺ entered the masjid and he saw a man from the Ansar named Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he asked Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, what's the matter? Why are you sitting in the masjid when it's not the time of salah? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, never-ending worries and never-ending debts. Never-ending worries and never-ending debts. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not teach you words that if you say them, it would settle your debts and it would ease your worries? And he said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say in the morning and in the evening, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-ham wal-hazan, anxiety and grief. Ham is anxiety about what's to come. Hazan is grief over what has already passed. So, O Allah, remove the trauma, remove the pain which paralyzes me because of something that has happened in the past, sorrow over something that's happened in the past, and the anxiety that doesn't allow me to act in regards to my future. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسَلِ. And I seek refuge in you from inability and laziness. Al-ajz is when you want to do something, but you can't do something. You're unable. So you have the willingness, but you don't have the ability. Al-kasal, laziness, is when you have the ability, but you don't have the willingness, right? So you can do something, but you don't want to do something. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to activate you beyond that. So the first part of this dua, the first half of this dua is about emotions. The second half is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ, and I seek refuge in you from cowardice and from stinginess. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ, and I seek refuge in you from being overcome by debt and from being overpowered by men. So you'll see once again, in the same dua, the Prophet ﷺ teaching us how to remove pain and how to remove the effect of pain, the tangible and the intangible. And that's also a sign of the care that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us, that he would instruct the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or inspire through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these words of dua that control our very emotions. The last one I want to leave you with is actually one that's very beautiful. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she would become angry, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would put his finger on her nose, like stroking her nose to calm her down. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to her, Ya Uwaysh, which was a nickname, like little Aisha, calm down. Calm down and listen to what it is that I'm about to teach you. Say this dua. Say, Allahumma Rabba Muhammad, O Allah, the Lord of Muhammad, اغفر لي ذنبي وأذهب غيظ قلبي وأعدني من مضلات الفتن. Once again, Allahumma Rabba Muhammad, اغفر لي ذنبي وأذهب غيظ قلبي وأعدني من مضلات الفتن. That the Prophet ﷺ said, say, O Allah, the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اغفر لي ذنبي, forgive my sins, وأذهب غيظ قلبي, and remove the anger from my heart, وأعذني من مضلات الفتن, and protect me from the fitan that mislead me. And subhanAllah, if you think about it, there is no other time in your life in which you do things that you regret than times of anger. When you do things that harm yourself, and you do things that could potentially take you away from your deen or spoil your dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ is teaching Aisha radiallahu anha by stroking her nose, Ya Aisha, say this dua and it will do away with your anger, and it will stop you from putting yourself in a situation as a result of that uncontrollable emotion with unending circumstances and consequences in this life and potentially in the hereafter as well.
اللهم إني عبدك ابن عبدك ابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل وأعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم رب محمد اغفر لي ذنبي وأذهب غيظ قلبي وأعذني من مضلات الفتن